Good morning, Crossville Church. Just doesn't quite have the same ring when I do it, does it? Anyway, we're so glad to see you this morning. We're glad that you're here and a part of the service today. We're glad to have those of you who are our guests with us today. We're glad to have those of you who are joining us on Facebook this morning. And if you're joining us on Facebook, be sure and leave us a comment to let us know that you are joining us this morning. Before I go any further with any of this, I want to say thank you, thank you, thank you to all who helped us out during the Fall Festival, either by giving candy and then a very special thank you to the 46 people who came and worked yesterday. I just appreciate that so much, and we had a great crowd. We had 385 people come through yesterday, which is down a little bit from last year, but last year we were the only show in town. There were seven events going on at the same time that ours was going on yesterday. And what's that? And for some reason, they did schedule. They didn't contact us to see if that was okay for them to play at that point in time. But anyway, Tennessee was playing, but we did have football going on down there. Tyler worked that out. Pastor Tyler worked that out. So anyway, we had a great time. And a lot of people that you see, that if you find some folks that may be nodding off this morning, just, you know, gently nudge them. But if I'm the one that nods off, then you probably need to say something. But anyway, we are so thankful for the way that God blessed a lot of new faces yesterday, and a lot of good compliments about the fact that this is our second year to do this and how much people appreciate it. People ask about the church, and we want people to come to our Harvest Festival, but most of all, we want people to come to Jesus. Amen? That is the reason that we do what we do. And so thank you, thank you, thank you for all of you who participated in any way for our Harvest Festival. Let me make just a few announcements. Be sure and remember choir practice this afternoon at 5 o'clock. We will be. We had originally said that we would not be. We were going to have the chili cook-off tonight, but after last night, we decided to postpone that for about 2 weeks. But the small groups will be meeting this evening, and the Zoom link for the Good News group will be sent out right after church this morning. Wednesday night, regular activities, children, youth, and adults at 6 o'clock. Grief share on Friday at 10 o'clock. Bread of Life meal will be next Saturday at 5 o'clock. And the menu and the sign-up sheet, do you need anything, Karen? She says we're great. Thank you for your help with that. And that will be next Saturday at 5 o'clock. Next Saturday evening, before you go to bed, you need to set your clocks back an hour. We fall back in the fall. And so be sure and remember that. The alabaster offering box is gone, but if you have alabaster offering, be sure and get that in. Some people have said, what is alabaster? Alabaster offerings go to build schools and hospitals and churches, buy property all around the world. And everything that comes in for our alabaster offering goes to missions. None of it goes for administrative costs. So if you that'll tell you a little bit more about alabaster, but be sure and remember that. NYC envelopes are still in the foyer. There's a whole lot of other stuff in the newsletter and some places that we need help. We do need help in some categories. And so be sure and look in the newsletter and find out what those are all about. It's so good to see you this morning. I hope that the Lord blesses you as we worship together.
Thank you. Stand with me this morning as you're able, and let's go to the Lord in prayer before we sing together. Father God, we thank you so much for this time to come into your house and worship you. God, this morning, there are those of us who are tired, but I am thankful that we serve a God who doesn't grow weary, who's never tired, and is more powerful than anything that we could ever think or imagine. So God, this morning, I pray that you would come and meet with us in this place, that you would work through our tiredness, and that you would make it evident that you are here, and you are working, and you are moving. God, we love you. We praise you. Thank you so much for everything you do for us. It's in your holy name we pray. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10 says, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." The song we're going to sing this morning talks about the fact that we are chosen and we're not forsaken. This tells us we're a chosen people. And because we're a chosen people, it says, "You may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into light." That's our challenge as Christians, is to declare the praises of him who has called us. So let's do that together this morning.
That the highest King would welcome me. I was lost, but he brought me in. Oh, his love for me. Oh, his love for me. Through the sun sets free. Oh, it's free. A slave to sin, Jesus died for me. Jesus died for me. Through the sun sets free. Oh, it's free indeed. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. In my I am chosen.
I guess it was about a month or so ago, and I was at one of our Trail Life meetings on Monday night. And there was this little fella who was there from the community, and he was a pretty rambunctious little guy. And I was doing my very best to kind of help corral him, and he had worked his way out the front door and was picking through the rocks along the front of the Family Life Center. And he was telling me about the fact that he collects rocks and how he has this collection at home. And we were standing there, and I was trying to encourage him. I said, "Listen, buddy, let's go back inside and join the group. We got things we're doing in here. Let's just go back inside and see what's going on." And he picked up this rock, and it was one that was cracked. It was just a little sliver of a rock. And he looked up at me, and this is what he said. He said, "That one's broken, but you can still use it. I want you to know that there was a day when the creator of the universe looked down through all the junk and all the perfect little rocks around, and he looked at me and he said, 'That one's broken, but I can still use that.'" This song talks about the fact that we come to God broken, but he can use us just as we are. And I want you to know this morning, it doesn't matter where you are, it doesn't matter what's going on in your life, it doesn't matter how broken you are, God can still use that. So let's sing this song together this morning.
Come. praise God. Just
thank you, Lord, that we can come to you just as we are. You know us better than we know ourselves. You know our weaknesses. You know the failures. You know the problems. But Father, you also know us as we can be and as you want us to be. You have a special purpose for each of our lives. And we're so grateful, Father, that we can come to this place this morning. We can worship you. We can declare that we are who you say that we are. But we also know, Lord, maybe some of us have had a rough week. Maybe some of us have had a week that we'd rather not remember. Maybe we felt like we were more down than we were up. And so, Lord, I pray that in this time that we have together, that you, through the power of your Spirit, would move on our hearts. And that you would help us. Help us, Lord, to know that you are able to forgive us. That you will forgive us if we'll simply come to you. Lord, if we need strength, we're grateful, Lord, that you can give us strength. And you can empower those who are weak. And so, Lord, we are believing you to move in our hearts and in our lives and in this service. We're grateful, Lord, for those that you have touched and those that you have helped. And Lord, we pray for those of our congregation who need your help this morning and who need your physical touch. We're believing you, Lord, to heal. And so we trust you and we believe you, God, that in this time that we have together, that you are going to move in our hearts, our lives, and our church. And we give you glory, honor, and praise for that today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, the song I'm going to share with you is titled, Finish Well. And it says this, it says, there will come a day, I know without a doubt, around the throne the saints will bow and lay down every crown. And it talks about how glorious the moment will be and all that kind of thing. But then it says this, it says, for now, the sun's still shining. There's work to still be done. And while we're waiting on the promise of what is yet to come, finish well. So I just want you to listen to the words of this song and know that God has called us to run a race. But it's not just a sprint. It's a race that we have to run to the end, and we have to finish, and we have to finish well.
There will come an day, I know without a doubt. Around the throne the saints will bow and lay down every crown. How glorious that moment to see him face to face, to hear him say, well done, my child, you finished your race. But for now the sun's still rising, there's work to still be done. While we're waiting on the promise of what is yet to come, finish well. Every day that you are given, finish well. For the glory of his name, finish strong. Until the Savior finally calls us home, give it everything we have, finish well. There's no truth that's saying we've seen our better days. These are the days to be courageous. bold and full of faith. So wherever this life leads us, whatever it may cost, let the church arise and lift the banner of the cross.
The Lord. I want to speak to you this morning from 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and we're going to look at verses 26 down through verse 29. I'm speaking to you this morning on the subject of imperfect but chosen. Imperfect but chosen. Listen to what Paul says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Brothers, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before Him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I don't know how many of you this morning are outlet shoppers. I was first introduced to an outlet mall when we moved to Albertville, Alabama, a long time ago. And just down the road from Albertville, Alabama, is a place called Boaz, Alabama. Okay, some of you are nodding. You have heard of Boaz. I asked Marcy a little while ago if she had ever heard of Boaz. And Boaz at one point in time was the state of Alabama's largest tourist attraction, if you can believe that. I mean, the Boaz Outlet Center was there. It was the precursor to all the outlet malls that we have. And the one that we have over here behind Bucky's, or what was the outlet mall, or what is the outlet mall, or what may someday once again become the outlet mall. But in its heyday, Boaz had over 5 million people visit that little town every year. On Black Friday in 1988, and I know some of you weren't even developing eyelids at that point in time, but in 1988, Boaz had over 137 tour buses show up on Black Friday. 137 tour buses. Now, we moved to Albertville, and everybody kept talking to us about Boaz. And so we drove down there, and we went in the back road because that was the easiest way to get to the outlets or get to Boaz from our house there in Albertville. And as we're riding in, we ride into that sleepy little town of Boaz, Alabama. And I'm telling you, I thought, my goodness, what in the world are they excited about? Until I turned the corner. And then I saw what everybody was so excited about. There were stores everywhere. And when we moved here, if you remember when we moved here, Vanity Fair was still in our outlets over here. And I'm telling you, Susie was absolutely thrilled. She shed tears when Vanity Fair closed over there, you know. I like to go in those places for several reasons. And a lot of those places sell factory seconds, you know. And the good thing about those kind of things is that you can buy them at a great price, But the second thing that I always liked about outlet shopping, I wanted to find out what was wrong with what I was just about to buy. You know? You look at those things, and to the untrained eye, many times, those things you can't find. You can't find what's wrong with it. But on a lot of those things, it has what's on the screen. It has slightly imperfect on it. Slightly imperfect. I guess another reason that I like those stores is because if you were to look at my life, I would have the word imperfect stamped on my forehead. Now, I want you to notice that I did not use the term slightly imperfect. Because there are times in my life that I am less than perfect, you know. I mean, some of those garments that you would buy and those things, you could see major imperfections. And most of the time, those were hung on the clearance rack. And if you went over there, you could find stuff that, you know, you didn't care if you got it ripped or torn. It didn't matter because they were more than just slightly imperfect. They were third and fourths and fifths and whatever else was there. Some of them had such major defects that nobody wanted them. And eventually, they were taken to either and put in a recycling bin and were taken somewhere and they were shredded or they were made into rags. It would be shipped all over the world. Slightly imperfect. None of us would admit it, but I really think that we do judge people. We look at people, and some people we put, you know, that first-class label on, and then other people we look at and we put that slightly imperfect label on. And then some people we just take and put on the clearance rack of life, thinking that possibly, maybe, somewhere, somehow, somebody might be able to use that person. The sad thing is, folks, a whole lot of us have put ourselves on the clearance rack of life. You see, the only other person in here that I live with is sitting right over here. Y'all see me, and I look pretty good this morning, you know. My hair's a little long, Brenda. We got to do something about that this week, okay? But, you know, I look pretty good. But there have been times that I have put myself on the clearance rack of life, thinking that nobody, anywhere, anyhow, would be able to use me for any good thing. You see, I know William. I know William better than anybody else in here. I understand my failures, flops, and fumbles, and I look at myself many times and I think, how in the world could God use me? I mean, how would you like to be God? Let's move to that now. How would you like to be God? Do you realize that every person in God's magnificent creation has the word imperfect stamped on them? I mean, there's only been one perfect person to ever live. And that was Jesus. And when you stop and think about it, God shops at the outlet store every day of the week with all the slightly imperfect people. I mean, I look at myself and I think, well, God could have chose someone to be a little taller. He could have chose someone to be a little smarter. He could have chose somebody to be a little stronger, maybe a little richer. He could have picked someone other than me to do what I am doing. And I look at you and I love you and I appreciate you, but I wonder sometimes if God might have, could have possibly picked some. I won't go there. I'll leave it alone. But I'm constantly amazed at God's choices. I mean, He chooses to use those who are weak to show His mighty power. I mean, Paul is a perfect example of this. There's all kinds of speculation. If you go to your commentaries and you read about Paul's thorn in the flesh, you're going to find that there's all kinds of speculation as to what Paul's thorn in the flesh was. And it's always fascinated me that the Apostle Paul says there that he prayed three times for God to remove that thorn, that problem, whatever it might have been. He prayed three times for God to remove it. And at the end of that, God said, "My grace is sufficient for you. I'm still going to use you." 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. "But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness.'" And then Paul says, "Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me." Well, what would you change about yourself? What would you change about you this morning? You see, I really think that God looks at us and God chooses us many times because of our imperfection. You see, God had a choice when He chose me. God had a choice when He chose you. And yet He chose us. He could have picked someone taller, smarter, stronger, richer, with more personality. But He chose you. He chose me. So therefore, He must have a purpose for us. And I want us this morning, I'm going to show you three things that I believe God wants you to see this morning about the fact that God, even though we may have this slightly imperfect label on us, I want you to know that God still chose you. And God still has a plan for you, even though you may be slightly imperfect. The first thing that I want you to see this morning is that God uses people who have problems. I want to tell you something this morning. The only people that God can use are people who have problems. If you feel like you don't have a problem this morning, we're going to ask you at the end of the service to come forward and bow here at this altar. We're going to lay our hands on you, and we're going to pray that God will give you a problem so that you can be used. God uses people who have problems. I mean, you look through the Bible, and I'm just going to look shortly at Moses. I mean, Moses is a prime example. I mean, you remember Moses' calling from God came in the form of a burning bush. A bush that was on fire but was not consumed. And when God begins to tell Moses all that He wants Moses to do, Moses begins to offer all kinds of excuses. Exodus chapter 4, verses 10 through 13, Moses said to the Lord, "O Lord, I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue." And the Lord said to him, "Who gave man his mouth? Who makes him deaf or mute? Who gives him sight or makes him blind? Is it not I, the Lord?" Well, now, what do you say to that? What are you going to offer to God after God says, "I am the one who made you like you are"? And then God says, "Now go, I will speak, I will help you speak, and I will teach you what to say." And then listen, after God has said, "I did all of this," Moses says, "Oh Lord, please send someone else." Can I tell you what a lot of people in our world have? Can I tell you what a lot of people in the church world have? Can I tell you what a lot of people at Crossville First Church of the Nazarene have? They have someone else syndrome. That was Mary, I think, who is needing help in children's workers. You know, I mean, Moses didn't want to go. Moses said, "God, look at all my problems. God, I am slightly imperfect. Please send someone else." So many people who are called of God have such a low opinion of themselves that they believe that everything that they will ever do rests on them. But it does not. It rests upon God. I mean, you begin to think about it. Paul said, 1 Corinthians, I read it to you just a moment ago. Think of what he's telling to these Corinthian Christians. He says, "Brothers, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before Him. What's God calling you to do? What is God wanting you to do? What is it that every time someone says, well, this is what needs to be done, you have this feeling in your heart and in your life that I should be doing something. But you begin to say, well, I've got all these problems, God. I could never do that because I am, and you fill in the blank. I could never do that, God, because I don't. And you fill in the blank. You see, the only people that God uses are the people who have problems. The people who are slightly imperfect. But I want you to notice, secondly, this morning, that God uses people who will not allow their weaknesses to hinder them. God uses people who will not allow their weaknesses to hinder them. Paul said, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 7, as a prisoner of the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you've received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called, one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. And then Paul says, to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. The fact of the matter is, folks, I have my weaknesses. You see me most of the time, and I made kind of a joke about it earlier. You see me most of the time when things are going good. You see me most of the time when I'm smiling. You see me as one thing many times, when sometimes on the inside, it's not that way at all. You say, William, are you telling us you're a hypocrite? No, I'm just saying sometimes I smile to keep from crying. You know? The fact of the matter is, you know, I have this imperfect label, and you have this imperfect label. That's the reason I put up with you. We all have our weakness. We all have our faults. But God has placed us and has called us here for a specific purpose. You know, we need to get away from this idea that somebody's got to look like, act like, do like, be like us before we will accept them. Last night, as we were watching people come in, it was getting toward the end of the evening, and a gentleman walked toward the building, and I could see his shirt before he ever got in the building. And please understand, his shirt was not a nice shirt. In fact, it had some very ugly language on it. And my first thought was, you know, maybe I ought to go ask him, because there are children and families present. I thought, well, maybe I ought to just go say something. And then I guess it was the Spirit of God that spoke to me that said, and I'm not saying in an audible voice, you understand what I mean. Yeah, I felt an impression in my heart, it's for those people that Jesus died. And just because there is a T-shirt on that may not have the best of language on it doesn't mean that God isn't looking to save that person. And I remember William, before William got saved. Now, you know I was a preacher's kid. I've made that very clear. But I know William before I got saved. My mom and dad would have never allowed me to wear a T-shirt that said anything like that. But I will tell you that at one point in time in my life, those kind of words came out of my mouth. And if that bothers you, I'm sorry, but I'm telling you the truth. And I'm so glad that God didn't say, well, you said that, so you're done. I'm glad God didn't look at you when you might have said something like that and put you on the clearance rack of life and said, "You're done. I want nothing to do with you." You see, God uses people who won't allow their weaknesses and their problems to keep them from serving Him. You see, God takes us as we are. God uses us and He changes us. Yes, we come to Him just as we are. But we come so that He might change us into what He wants us to be. That's so important for us to realize. You see, God wants to take us. And yes, we know we have problems. And yes, we know there are circumstances. Maybe that if other people knew about it, they would not want anything to do with us. But God knows the circumstances. God knows the situations. And yet He's willing to say, "I have forgiven you and therefore I call you." God uses people finally who will give Him their weaknesses. I love 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I've already read it to you this morning. But I love 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 9 and 10, where Paul says, and he's speaking as God is speaking to him, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." Paul says, "Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then... I am made strong." Isn't that good news? You see, Paul came to the realization that his weaknesses magnified God's power even more. If to nobody else but Paul, at least Paul understood that. Paul understood that he could not do what he was doing unless God's power rests upon him. I've told you before, I know many of you just don't believe it, but I've told you before, I said when I felt like God was calling me to preach, I said, "I will never do that." I really did. And for 9 years, I fought with this thing because I did not want to do it. I had watched Daddy. I knew what Daddy had gone through as a pastor, and he never brought the problems home, but I understood because you didn't have to be blind, you know, to see what was going on. And I also knew William. I hated at that point in time to stand up in front of people and talk. I mean, when I was asked to be district secretary, I'm telling you, it scared me stupid because I just didn't want to have to be in front of the whole assembly and read all that kind of stuff off. And there were my first time, I was so grateful for Dr. J.K. Warwick, who said to me, "It's going to be okay." Y'all think I just walk a lot before service? No, I'm scared to death. But I'm so glad that God takes us in our imperfections and our weaknesses, and says, "If you'll let me, I'll do something good through you. If you'll let me, I'll give you the strength to be able to do something that you could not otherwise do." You see, we need to realize that we can give our lives to Jesus, understanding that we are not perfect, understanding that we do have weaknesses, but when we give our weaknesses, when we give our problems to Jesus, He's able to do something in us, through us, and for us, and for other people that could not otherwise be done. I love what Paul says in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, that He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion. You see, a whole lot of the time we're not willing to give God our weaknesses. Some of the time, folks, we wear our weaknesses as badges of honor because we think if we do it that way, then nobody will want us or will ask us to do something. But God uses people who give Him their weaknesses, and He does magnificent things through them. conclusion. I found that through the years as I've shopped at those outlet stores, that those things that are slightly imperfect, they usually wear just as good and just as long as those things that are perfect. Isn't it amazing when you think about it that God doesn't he doesn't have the choice about where He's going to shop. He always has to shop at the outlet mall of humanity. I'm looking this morning, and I'm not trying to judge you, and I'm not trying to cast stones at you, but I'm looking this morning at a lot of slightly imperfect people. And you are looking at a slightly imperfect person. But even though that you and I are slightly imperfect, the Word of God says that God still chooses us. Our church is slightly imperfect because it's made up of slightly imperfect people. I'll just go ahead and tell you that, you know, there are no perfect churches, because once you or I get there, it's messed up. But God chooses the weak things to shame the strong things. He chooses the things that are slightly imperfect to say, look at what I did through that person. And I'm so thankful that God just doesn't look at all of our abilities. He looks at our availability. He looks at whether or not we're willing. And let me tell you this, and I'm going to tell you this in closing. And then we're going to sing the song that we sang at the end of the worship service this morning, Just As I Am, one more time. Let me tell you this much. If God calls you or asks you to do something in His kingdom, He will empower you and He will equip you to do whatever He's asking you to do. He is not going to take you where He will not be. He is not going to call you to do something that you, through His power, cannot do. You may be slightly imperfect. You may be a second class. You may be a third class. You may think you are on the clearance rack of life, ready to be shredded and sent off somewhere to be used and abused. But that is not the case today, because God uses imperfect people, and He will use you just as you are. Let's stand, every head bowed, every eye closed. We thank You, Lord Jesus, that You are willing to shop at the outlet mall of life. You are willing to take slightly imperfect people and use them to do Your perfect work. I don't understand it, Lord. I can't even begin to put all that together, but I'm so thankful, Lord, that You have called us as we are so that You can change us into what You want us to be. You transform our lives. You save us from our past. You enable us in our present. You're anticipating our future. And so, Lord, this morning, there might be one, there might be more here this morning that they've been putting this label of imperfect on their lives, saying that God could never use me. I'm so glad to tell them this morning, Lord, based on Your Word, that You will use them, that You will help them, that You will change them, that You will empower them, that You are calling them. And so, Lord, this morning, help us to come to You just as we are. We can't change ourselves. We've tried. But You can. And we depend on that. And so, Lord, this morning, I pray that as we sing this song, that if there's one, maybe more, that they need to come and bow here in this altar, or maybe they just need to come here and sit on these front pews, whatever they need to do this morning, I pray, oh God, that You would help them to simply come to You just as they are, knowing, Lord, that You can and will change them today. We love You and we thank You that You use slightly imperfect people For Lord, without You, none of us would be doing what we're doing. Help us to respond to You in Jesus' name.
Just as I am without one plea, but that Thy blood was shed for me, and that Thou bidst me come to Thee, O Lamb of God, I come. I come. Just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark lot, to Thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come. I come broken to be mended. I come wounded to be healed. I come desperate to be rescued. I come empty to be filled. I come guilty to be pardoned by the blood of Christ the Lamb. And I'm welcome with open arms, praise God, just as I am. Just as I am, I would be lost, but mercy and grace my freedom bought, and now to glory in Your cross, O Lamb of God, I come. I come broken to be mended. I come wounded to be healed. I come desperate to be rescued. I come empty to be filled. I come guilty to be pardoned by the blood of Christ the Lamb. And I'm welcome with open arms, praise God, just as I am. I come broken to be mended. I come wounded to be healed. I come desperate to be rescued. I come empty to be filled. I come guilty to be pardoned by the blood of Christ the Lamb. And I'm welcome with open arms, praise God, just as I am. Praise God, just as I am.
Wayne, could you go back to the chorus? Just go back to the chorus. I come broken. I want us to read those words one more time. I come broken to be mended. I come wounded to be healed. I come desperate to be rescued. I come empty to be filled. I come guilty to be pardoned by the blood of Christ the Lamb. And I'm welcomed with open arms just as I am. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for these who have come this morning and who have been welcomed with open arms. And I pray, Father, that as this congregation is dismissed, and as we pray with these who are around the altar, that you, through the power of your Spirit, would bless and help and touch and heal and forgive and mend and do whatever they needed. And Lord, if there are those standing here this morning, those on Facebook today, that they need exactly what the chorus of that song said, may they experience it before they leave this place this morning. Thank you that you welcome us with open arms, just as we are. We love you, we thank you, we praise you. In Jesus' name. May God bless you. May you go in peace. Have a great day. We'll see you this evening.